All right. Thank you, Tiffany. My. When you don't understand the purpose of his plan, bow the knee. Means pray. Amen. I want you to go with me to the book of Revelation and then turn back to Jude right in front of it. It's a little book, one chapter, 25 verses, little book of Jude. So if you start at the back of your Bible and move to your left here, I hardly ever tell anybody to move to the left. I don't like that, even the words. But got enough move to the left in our country today, amen? Little book of Jude, verse 25 of them. I'm going to pick out two. I want us to start reading in about verse 10 and read just two verses, 10 and 11. Most of you know that the little book of Jude, he gets right to the point. I like him. He gets where the tire meets the road. He warns the evil crowd that the Lord is coming and coming back in judgment. I'm not going to be on that. He gives examples such as Sodom and Gomorrah, how God dealt with them. He warns the filthy dreamers and others. What a good book this would be to just put in big letters up in Washington, D.C. and some other places. Amen. Starting in verse 10, but, crossing the street a little bit, but these speak evil of those things which they know not. Boy, that's true for our day. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. Now let me tell you, he makes reference here to Cain and to Balaam and to Kor. And if you know your Bible, you know all those guys got in trouble with God. Amen. In fact, the last one there, Kor, is the one that withstood Moses and God opened up the ground and swallowed him and his crowd. Balaam is the one that tried to curse Israel for reward. But the way of Cain goes all the way back to the early beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 4. And Jude warns us about the way of Cain. Now, Hollywood and all kind of books have been written, and a lot of people will reference Cain. They'll reference the way of Cain or the mark of Cain and those things that originally that you read in the Bible. But I want to talk to you a little bit this morning on the way of Cain. Now, anytime you go away a direction, you have to make a choice to do it. Life is full of choices. Life is full of decisions. This morning, before you got to church, you had to make a lot of decisions. Did you know that? Thank God some of you decided to get out of bed. And you decided to have breakfast. And you decided what you'd have for breakfast. And then you decided what you'd wear. And then you decided how you would get here. And whether you'd get here for Sunday school or preaching. You made a lot of decisions before you got here this morning. I'm glad you made it. Amen. That you made the right decisions to get to the house of God. What you were going to wear. I remember one time I started out in the ministry. I had one suit of clothes. And naturally, it was cheap. But it didn't fit too well. So they altered it. When they got through altering it, I was scared to pull off my coat. Because it was hiding where they altered it on the side of the pants. But you know what? It was easy to make a decision what I had to wear to church every Sunday. I just had the one. Now you know what? I'd open the closet and I've got two or three suits. So now I got choices to make. I got decisions to make. And I know some of you ladies, I've heard you, open the closet, it's the stuff you couldn't put anything else in it, and you open the door and say, I hadn't got a thing to wear. Anybody guilty of that? You don't raise your hand. You are guilty. If you're a lady, you are guilty. The truth of the matter is that's human nature. But you know what? We're not robots. We were made with a free moral choice that we can make. And while that's good, we do have to make those choices. You drive down the road, you're going straight, you're doing fine, but all of a sudden there's a crossroad, and you wonder, is that where I'm supposed to turn? So you had to make a decision. We all come to crossroads, as it were, in life. And it does matter. The decisions we make, of course, matters. Now, you come to church today, and the job of the church, if it's a good church and a Bible-believing church, it's to get your attention, hopefully to get you to go in the right direction, hopefully to make the right turn, hopefully to make the right decision. And so as you come to church today, you're going to face, after the message, we pray that the message would help you to make the right choice, right decision. Whatever it was, your reaction to it would be the right one. That's what the church's job is to tell folks the truth of God's word, of course, and give right directions. I think about the little boy that was lost in one of the big cities. I forget what was New York or where it was. Somehow he wandered out of the store while his mother was shopping. He went too far looking at things, and he couldn't find his way back. And finally the policeman found him and realized he was lost. And he said to the little boy, "Can you give me your address? Can you tell me how to get you home?" The little boy said, "No, I don't know my address." But he thought a minute, and he said, "I tell you what. You'll take me to that big church that has the steeple. I'll know my way home from there." That's pretty good advice. The church ought to tell you the way home, the way home up, the way home to God. Amen. That ought to be the message that we get out. Yeah, you're going to have to make decisions, clothes, food, all of that business. But how about the decision as to what you're going to do to the message that God has for you? Now, the text I read referenced the way of Cain. And while that's just a few words, it just comprehends a whole lot. And I want to talk about that with you a little bit to begin with, based on the way of Cain. Now, I want to say to you, there's two ways to live. Remember the story? Cain and Abel. If you read it close, I believe they were twin brothers, if you read it close. And Adam and Eve's children, early on, Cain and Abel. By the way, and there's two ways to live that's demonstrated by their lives. And let me say this, there's always only been two ways. Two ways. Right way and the wrong way. Two ways. Now, Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Now, it says there's a way that'll deceive you. Way that seems right. Way that feels right. Way that looks right. But in the end, it's the way of death. It'll mislead you. It'll deceive you. Now, that's pictured in Cain and Abel because the natural way is Cain's way. I read it here in verse 11 of the text, and it says here, "Way of Cain, woe unto them, bad way, for they have gone in the way of Cain." And it was a bad way that Jude is talking about here. Now, don't get me wrong. Cain did some things right. He did work hard. Apparently, he was a pretty good gardener, farmer. He raised a lot of good produce, we'd call it, probably. It was a work that he'd done. He worked hard, and he even took it to the right place, to the altar where he was supposed to make an offering to God. He took it to the right place. And I will say this in favor of him. He did bring an offering. That's more than I can say for some folks. Amen. But he did bring an offering. The problem was his offering was his work. Work of his own hands. Not the offering God had told him to make. He didn't bring the right one. He had gotten it from a ground that had been cursed after the fall in sin. It represented the wrong side. It was something that he'd cultivated, something that he'd plowed and he'd planted, and he was proud of it, I'm sure. See, a lot of folks today are going in the way of Cain. God said bring one offering. They bring the one they want to bring instead of the one he said to bring. Folks, that's a decision, but it's a bad decision. And here in the scripture, it's called the way of Cain. the way of Cain. Now, a lot of folks are bringing that kind of offering to God today. Going the way of Cain. They're trusting something else. A lot of folks trust heaven's going to be open to them because of their family tree, who they are, where they were born, what their name is, the pedigree, so to speak. That's wrong. That's bringing your own offering instead of what God said. They're trusting the family tree, our good life. And perhaps Cain, if you'd have been his neighbor, you'd have said he's a good man. Maybe he lived a good life. Maybe he even had a church membership somewhere. Now, you let my imagination go. Say, a church wasn't back then. How you know you wasn't there? Truth of the matter is, he was doing something religiously. He was following something he thought was religiously right. He was doing an act to bring it to God's altar and bringing an offering. He was doing some things right, but it was his way, not God's. Watch out for folks that think they can improve. They've got a better idea than God. They've got it figured out that God must have been a little bit wrong or absent-minded or having a senior moment that day and didn't do it quite right, so they're going to fix it for him. Run across people like that quite often, no doubt about it. But you see, God's way is what Abel followed. Wasn't probably as pretty, I'm just imagining, if Cain brought watermelons, boy, I like them. Pumpkins only after they're fixed right in a pie. I don't know what all produce he brought, but I'm sure it's pretty. Isn't it pretty to see produce? It looks nice. Trouble was, it wasn't the right thing. Probably didn't look quite as ugly as that old bloody lamb that Abel had slain. And yet that was God's offering, see. God's way was Abel's sacrifice, and his sacrifice, Abel's sacrifice, bringing the blood of the lamb, was crying out for mercy to God. It was saying that my sin to be atoned one day is going to call for the blood of the Lamb of God, God's own Son, and God was pointing and painting a picture, and he was showing the correct thing, and Cain was bypassing it. Out of a lot of pulpits and a lot of churches today, the bloody offering of Jesus Christ is being bypassed. Man is building something pretty, looks nice, but it's the works of his own hand. It's something he done instead of what God had asked for. Abel's offering here, of course, was the bloody sacrifice. It was crying out for mercy. It meant shed blood. The blood had to be shed. You think about it. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. The scripture says that God came and found them in the cool of the day, and God shed the blood of, I believe, lambs, animals, and made coverings of skins for Adam and Eve. Now somebody says, they realized they were naked. Let me tell you what Adam and Eve lost. You remember when they were created in the garden? You and I, if we could have seen them with the eye, we wouldn't have called them naked. They were created with the Shekinah glory of God. Every time you see a creature show up in the Bible, you see the angels, they show up in white apparel, they show up in the brightness of light. I believe they had the glory of God on them until that sin came. And when that sin came, yes, they were naked. And God showed them what's going to get you ever restored back is going to cost. The price of blood. The lamb had to be slain to make them a cover. Now, Cain and Abel, little twin boys, and I believe they were, they knew. They'd been taught right. You know what I see today? I see a lot of Christian families that have made an effort to teach the kids right, but every now and then one of them goes the way of Cain. Does their own thing. Invents their own way. Got a better idea than God, as it were. And Abel's sacrifice was crying out for mercy. It said blood had to be shed because of sin. And the Bible says in Hebrews that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no other price. There is no other offering outside of what Abel brought, pointing to the blood of the Lamb. Now, I want you to notice the difference in these men. The difference was not in the men. The difference was in the offering they brought. One was accepted, one was rejected, but it wasn't the men. I don't know that Cain lived any more evil at that particular time. He probably did later, but than Abel. But the difference was in the offering. One was accepted, one was rejected. One brought the right one, one brought the wrong one. That's where the difference was. But you see, the difference was Abel believed God's word. God said, bring the lamb, bring the blood. So he acted on God's word. I want to say to you today, nothing's changed. People either believe or don't believe God's word. The Bible is God's word. Don't pervert it. Don't get you a new version. By the way, I'm just going to add this. The new versions is the way of Cain. It's going around what God said, doing it different than what God said, finding an easier path. That's the way man is. I mean, that's the way of Cain. Find an easier way. God surely really didn't mean there's such a thing as a burning hell. Well, he said there was. Get you a version that cools off hell and you may be doing the way of Cain. You may be dodging the hard truths of the word of God. But the difference here was in their offerings, and the difference was that Abel believed the word of God. And I say to you today, look out for all the changing of God's book. You see, and everything is done it, but that don't make it right. Just think about it. Am I getting it straight from God, or am I getting it watered down through somebody that wants to go the way of Cain when it comes to the word of God? Now, the truth is, Abel believed God's word. Real belief brings assurance. You know that? I'm not talking about saying you believed. I'm talking about really believing. If you know Christ as your Savior today, it brings you assurance and it brings you joy that I've got God's word on it. My foot's set on a rock. Heaven is my home as if I'd already been there 10 years. That's assurance. Why? Say, where do you get your assurance? From the promises of God's word. What God says about it. Amen. I got his word on it. Have you ever known some people whose word you trusted and they always came through, and so if they told you something, you could count on it? That's good. You've known some otherwise, I'm sure. But hey, God never failed anybody, never lied to anybody, never broken a promise to anybody. That's a wonderful, wonderful truth. Real belief will bring you assurance. I don't know why I got, well, I guess I do. Guess I'm getting older, so I get filled with nostalgia, but I don't know why this week, but quite a bit this week, I'd think back on this, that, or the other. And once in a while, I'd think on something bad. And I'd say, bless God, thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. It's under there. I'll never have to face that. Never have to answer for that. Jesus answered for it for me. And that is a joy and an assurance that you can take to the bank, brother. It's better than any price this world's ever got. It's a wonderful thing to have that and to take your fears away. Amen. You know, as a preacher with all the responsibility of the ministry and church and always a little crisis here or there, I generally wake up well before daylight and I don't jump out of bed. Several reasons I don't jump out of bed quick. One is I want to wait and see what parts went out during the night. But other than that, first thing I think about before I start moving too much is, what have I got to deal with today? What is the most critical thing I got to get to first today? What am I responsible for today? Now that's, most managers, bosses, they gotta think while their workers aren't having to think maybe quite that much. And that's true with a pastor. And I'd like to say, man, I wish I didn't have to do that. Man, But then I think, how did you used to wake up before you were saved? I woke up sometime in fear to think about, did I mess up last night? What did I do? What am I going to face? See, I didn't get saved till I was 22, and I lived just a normal, natural, bad life like everybody else. And I remember waking up then, and I'd wake up now, and there's no comparison. Just no comparison. Man, I got the joy of the Lord now. I mean, say, well, don't think, I face some bad days sometimes. But you know what I can do? I can look at bad, 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 total it up, I'm still saved. Total it up, I'm still going to heaven. total it up, I'm still forgiven. Amen. That's the joy I'm talking about. That is the joy of the Lord. I see two ways to live, Cain's way, Abel's way. Then I see two ways to die. All die. Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And you guess what? You know how we die? Here's how we die. We die in the midst of our living. Just in the midst of it. Some wait till too late to try to prepare for the other side, and that's too bad. You know, this old thing, I'm going to wait to the midnight hour, you know, to get saved. You may die at 11. You might die at 10:30. I remember early years of the church here. Been here maybe 3 years, 4 years, I don't know, not long. And somebody contacted me about a loved one in the hospital in what used to be the county hospital in Bartow. And they said, "Preacher, the doctor has given, whether it was a mother, grandmother, whoever it was, at least a middle-aged lady, given her a warning. She could go anytime, and I want you to go talk to her. She's not a Christian. She's not saved, and I want you to go talk to her." Another preacher and myself had a luncheon appointment of something, and he was from another little town, and I told him, I said, "I need to go to the hospital in Bartow." He said, "Well, I'll ride down there with you." So we got to the door, and it was one of them rooms where they had more than one people in. And he said, "Well, I don't want her to be embarrassed with two of us. Just go on in. I'll stand out here and pray for you." So I went in, found the lady. She looked pretty strong. She could talk. She didn't have any tubes in her nose or anything. And so I told her who I was, and I could see immediately when she found out I was a preacher, she wasn't happy about it. And I talked to her a little bit, and I asked her how it was between her and the Lord, whether she was saved, had ever received Christ as her Savior. And she didn't like that much, but she said, "Go on, preacher, and leave me alone." That's the word she said, "Go on, preacher, and leave me alone." I said, "Well, do you know what the doctor said about your condition?" And she said, "Yes, but just go on, leave me alone." And she rolled over from me and put her face toward the wall to not even look at me. I left. Met the preacher outside the door. He said, "How did it go?" I said, "Not good." I said, "According to the loved one, the doctor said she's going to die any minute, and yet she won't even talk about the Lord Jesus and her condition." So help me, I went back home, and within just the time that it took for the newspaper to come out with the obituary, I saw her name in it. I figured up from the time she must have died that afternoon or no later than that night, and yet she said, "Go on, preacher, let me alone. Let me alone." Two ways to die. You die in the midst of your living. Maybe you die when you don't think you are. See, both Cain and Abel died. Now, Abel was first, violently. His brother got mad at him, jealous over God accepting his offering instead of the fruits and vegetables he'd brought. I don't know how he killed. I've always imagined if they were out in the garden, maybe they had hoes or rakes or, I don't know, maybe he used a tool on him. But he rose up against him, the Bible said, and killed Abel. Out of envy, out of jealousy. You know the story, how God then came and told Cain that his brother's blood was crying out from the earth. Abel died violently. Don't matter. They both died. There was just a little short difference. A few years, many years, don't matter. It's still short. Just a little time when you measure it by eternity. I knew a doctor and practiced in Winter Haven. He's dead now. Good doctor. He'd always get a smile on his face, and he told me, he said, "You know, when somebody gets killed in a car wreck or violently killed somehow or another," he said, "people will come to me and say, 'Doctor, just how bad did he get killed?'" And the doctor thought that was funny. He said, what they wanted me to tell them was the grimy, gross news of how beat up, banged up, broke up, bloodied up they were. Just how bad did they get killed? He'd say, "Just enough." And we like that. We don't know how death's coming, but we do know it is. Young, old, we have the prayer list around here all the time, and we know the stories on it all the time, and sometimes by surprise and sometimes expected, but it comes. But the time and the difference between Cain and Abel wasn't that much when you measure it by eternity. Now, here's the good news for Abel. When he died, his offering had been accepted, and his sin had already been paid for. The difference was Cain also died, but his offering hadn't been accepted. Unless he got right, and the scripture doesn't tell us that he ever did. You see, Abel had sin's power broken over him, but Cain didn't. He died in his sin while Abel died to his sin. There's a difference, big difference, between those two little words in relationship to sin. The truth of the matter is that Jesus said in Matthew 10, "Fear not him that can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul." See, it's the death of the soul, which is not a death. It's an eternal existing, separated from God, in the torments, the place where sin must be carried if it's not paid for. And the only way it can get paid for is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the right offering to the Lord. Listen, folks, a lot of people think they're going to play with sin, and in the very end, they're going to have time to get right. We're just going to live it up and party it up, and at the very last minute, we're going to outsmart God and get saved. That don't pan out very often. Not very often at all. When you play with sin, it's a deceiver. The Bible says when lust, James 1:15, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. It's a process that gets you on the wheel, and before you know it, it's taking you somewhere you didn't want to go because you wanted to do it your way instead of God's way. If I mention the name of some movie stars, I guess they're all dead now, I don't know, but they had the name of being the Rat Pack. I tell a lot of you watch TV. The Rat Pack. Drinking it up, boozing it up, smoking it up, living up, doing what I want to do. And there's three or four of them got the name of the Rat Pack. One of those was a kind of famous singer, and one of his songs was "I Done It My Way." I done it my way. And even at his funeral, see, he died too. Just like Cain, he died too. At his funeral, they used that. "I done it my way." And I saw that on TV, on the news, famous singer, rich guy, ran around with President Kennedy and some others. But anyway, "I done it my way," and I thought about Cain's way. As soon as he quit breathing, his way didn't work no more. As soon as he quit breathing, he was ashamed of his way. As soon as he quit breathing, he was reaping the results of his way. "I done it my way. How about doing it God's way?" Abel did it God's way. Cain did it his way. Which one would you rather be now after these many thousands of years? There's not a soul in this building in his right mind say, "I'd rather be Cain than Abel." Huh? The guy that might have slept on the bridge and caught a ride on a freight train, but if he knew the Lord Jesus Christ, his way was better than the fellow that said, "I done it my way," though he got rich off of singing. Because it's over now. It's used up now. It's gone now. You and I better be sure we're doing it God's way, accepting God's way. You know, you can't play with sin. A lot of folks think they can, but it don't work. You know, I say to you, kids say today, and I've dealt with teenagers, and even though they don't like to admit it, sometime in a fit of anger with the parents, they'll say, "I know how far to go." But you went a little further than you planned. it was hard to get out of than you thought. Sin took you further than you wanted to go, and the price you're going to pay for it is a lot more than you want to pay. Sad that it's that way, but it is. But I'm going to say there was two ways they lived, Cain and Abel's way. There was two ways they died. One of them died in the bliss of his offering being accepted. His sin was not going to take him to hell, but the other one died the wrong way. You see, now there's also two ways to rise. Yes, even the lost have a resurrection. That's what the Bible says. The Bible tells us very, very plainly that there is a resurrection of the just and the unjust. You can read it in Acts 24. Resurrection of the just and the unjust, the saved and the lost. Both live on the other side, but what kind of life do they live in? That's the thing. Resurrection of Abel. I didn't read about these resurrections in the book of Revelation. Here's the one about Abel in Revelation 20, verse 6, where it says it's the first resurrection and the second death hath no part in it. That's Abel's. That's a good one. First resurrection, and it says the second death. You mean there's a second death? Oh, yes. Dying lost in the torments of hell is called the second death. And that's what happened with Cain, second death. But with Abel, it was simply saying over here, the first resurrection, the second death, have no part, no power over. But then the resurrection of Cain, of the unjust. I could turn right over here to Revelation 20, and you could look at it. If you started in verse 11 and went down to verse 15, you see the resurrection that is facing Cain and facing everybody that brought their own offering that was not God's offering. Whether it be church membership, baptism, being good, helping your neighbor, all those good things are good, but they won't get you into heaven. It's the offering of your own hands, of your own doings, and it's not God's. I look in verse 11 of Revelation 20. I'm going to read it slow enough you can get it. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the resurrection of the unjust. That's the final judgment is coming upon them because they did it their way. Did it their way. You know, in Genesis 4, when God came and told Cain what was going to happen to him, he said, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." That's going to be the theme song of hell. That's what it was with the rich man in Luke 16. "I can't bear this." Yes, somehow the same God that made you is going to let you be in there and feel the torments of what sin unpaid for will take you to. Say, "Preacher, that's hard." That's the Bible. My grandma used to say, if you don't believe one word in the Bible, you might as well not believe all of them. She's dead right. I've studied it now for over 50 years, and the more I study it, the more I know what grandma said was right. Every word. Jesus said, "Every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." Important. Two ways to rise: Abel's way, Cain's way. The way you rise, my friend, depends on the way you died. You died to or in your sin. The way you died depends on the way you lived, in acceptance of God's way or making your own way. Making your own way. "I'll do it my way. I did it my way." Well, where did your way wind up? The Bible says it's the ways of death. It's to die lost. You know, Abel's lamb that was his sacrifice, the offering God commanded. It was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lamb. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world," when he saw Jesus coming. That Lamb went to the cross of Calvary, and that Lamb that was slain by Abel to make his offering, the lambs all down through the Bible on the Passover and all those times pictured the day God's Lamb would die on the cross and shed his blood for us. That's God's offering. I want to face God with his offering, not with one I invented, not with one I thought was all right. See, God's offering is not your good works, your good deeds. It's not your church membership, your baptism, what your name is, who you are, what you're worth. It's only what you've done with Jesus. Have you accepted the right offering? Can you imagine? Cain and Abel came before God there in the early days of the garden and of Genesis. One had an offering accepted, one had it turned down. We're going to step before heaven's gate. A lot of people are going to step up there and say, "Lord, Lord, I prophesied in your name. I cast out demons in your name." But God's going to say, "Wrong offering." That's what Jesus said. Matthew 7, he said, they'd come saying that, and he'd say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." That's Bible, whether you like it or not, folks. It's Bible. But how about walking up there, and as they were singing a while ago, you're going to see the nail prints. You're going to have an offering that God himself gave when he gave his only begotten son. That offering's going to get me into heaven. I got assurance of it. I enjoy the knowledge of it now. But then, brother, then, that's what's going to get me into heaven. Not any works of my own hand at all. That's God's grace. That's God's mercy that he made the offering for us and given his son. I ask you this morning, if right now time was called, your time was called, and you step before God, which offering would he see in you? Would he see the blood of the Lamb, his son? Or would he see the best you can do, the best fruits you got to offer? Oh, my friend, this is ABCs of the Bible, but it's so important where your soul is going to spend eternity. Do you know? I hope you do. Hope you've received Christ. If you haven't, this morning you can come and receive Christ